You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It is Thursday, and our first, we're just going at it now, as far as Locked On Wolverines podcast is concerned. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. Obviously, we don't have as much to talk about lately, so it has not been every day. But we are back, and we are going straight up with the mailbag. The next couple days, we will go NFL draft, discussing just what is going on there. But for today, we've got your questions. Really good turnout. Really excited about that. Start with our leaders and best, James Crudup at James Crudup 6. Michigan has had individual success in the draft and in the NFL, but that hasn't really translated to collective success at Michigan. Do you think that has contributed to some cultural issues or an I have to get mine mentality? Not necessarily. I mean, I think that there has been an I have to get mine mentality. I think we've seen that with some players whose names I won't mention, but I definitely think that that has happened. I think you're definitely getting. I think the cultural issues aren't as big. I think they've had them. I don't think that they had them necessarily as much last year. Granted, things did not go great last year. But I know that sounds like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, and I probably am. But I don't think it's necessarily a situation where they had the same types of issues as far as cultural. Now, I think that, yeah, there were some issues with guys giving up on plays, not playing as hard. I did think we saw that last year, but I think that that was just kind of a product of a lot of different things. As far as the I have to get mine mentality, I mean, yeah, I think that that's something that exists with certain players, and I think that I can't think of any players right now that are on the roster where I think that's necessarily their issue. Now, the thing is, everyone wants to get to the league, and ideally you have guys like Sean Wade for Ohio State, for instance, that say, hey, you know what? I could go right now. I could probably be a first-round pick, but I'm going to stick around. And for Sean Wade, he's not really looking like he's a first-round pick right now. Aiden Hutchinson decided to come back, right? Brad Hawkins decided to come back. So there are definitely team players, and I've got to get mine-type players. I think that the more five-star-type guys you get, you're going to probably have more of those. I'm going to go get mine. But not always. A couple high four stars like Aiden Hutchinson, like Jordan Lewis, like Jake Butt, all stuck around. So I think you're looking for more guys like that where they want to be a part of the cure, the solution, and that there's nothing wrong with going and getting yours. I know I'm talking out of every side of my mouth, so I think I'm just done. Maybe I just don't have a good answer, is what I'm trying to say. Josh Barajadicki, do you have any insight into what the regimen goes into the time between spring practice finishing and fall camp starting to look like for players? Not 100%, but I mean, it's conditioning. So and during the summer and everything like that, you're going to have a little bit more. You're going to have a little bit more of like the 7-on-7s, the walkthroughs, more so than you had in winter. But it's a lot of conditioning. I'm not sure if they have May off like they used to. I'm sure that to some degree they don't have as much to do, but their guys will still do things. But, you know, when they took trips, part of the whole reasoning with the trip, like it would happen late April and then they'd have May off. They'd come back in June. I'm sure that when May off, that doesn't mean from school, right? Because guys would go to school, guys would study abroad, guys would do internships, all that kind of stuff. But, they continue the conditioning. They try to pack on more muscle. They try to get faster, and they do more 7-on-7 type stuff. But as far as like the actual, like knowing the details of what they're doing particularly, I don't. I just know the kind of general what have you. My brother in metal, Michael Wolf at MWolf21, what second and third year players should fans keep an eye out for this season? Lots of third year type guys, third/fourth year. Because I was going to say Taylor Upshaw, he's fourth year. Let's see. David Ajabo, Jalen Harrell, Mazi Smith, trying to go through the list in my head, RJ Moten, Makari Page, Jordan Morant got a mention from Harbaugh, which is great. DJ Turner got a mention from Harbaugh on the Into the Trenches podcast, which is also great. I think in the slot, Andre Seldon would be one to look out for. Gabe Newberg. I know I'm missing some guys. On the offense, Cornelius Johnson is obvious. I think you can't really say Roman Wilson and Blake Corum because I think those are too obvious. Zach Zinter is obvious at this point. It sounds like Matthew Hibner has made an impression, but I think that he's not necessarily that right off the bat type of guy. I don't know. I think that that would be the one. Those would be the ones, but we'll have a better idea come fall. Writer for Wolverine's Wire, Trent Noop, at Trent Noop. Did you like WandaVision or The Falcon and Winter Soldier better? And are you surprised that Franz hasn't declared yet? I am surprised Franz hasn't declared yet because it kind of seems like if he was surefire going to go, probably would have declared. Hasn't happened yet. I think that's interesting. Not that I have any insight there. I notoriously don't have any insight on basketball things. As far as the Marvel shows, it's really difficult. Falcon and the Winter Soldier did not get the best reviews from people. Like, the people said it was lacking. A lot of people said it was boring. I kind of loved it. And let me put it this way. I think I was more gripped by WandaVision, like wanting to know what the secrets were, wanting to know what was really going on. So I think on a weekly basis, I was more gripped by it. But if I'm going to go back and rewatch one of them, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And it made me want to rewatch Captain America and the Winter Soldier. So, or Captain America, the Winter Soldier, whatever. So I liked the seriousness of that one. And obviously I love Anthony Mackie. I think he is awesome. I have been a big fan of his for a very long time. Kind of feels like a adopted son in the city of Detroit. I think Anthony Mackie's so cool. So I'm going with The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Finishing us out in segment one, Jimmy Whitner, at Jimmy Whitner 1. What recruit that Michigan is in on football or basketball are you the most excited about? I'm going to go with Walter Nolan. Not that I think he's necessarily coming, but I mean, I just feel like it's as far as got someone who is not committed. I mean, I feel like Michigan's got a real shot based off of conversations that you've heard on the show with Steve Lorenz and whatever. As far as guys who Michigan is bringing in, like guys who are already committed, I mean, it's really obvious on the football side. Will Johnson would be my guy there. I think he can be a game changer in the defensive backfield. For basketball, say Musa Diabate. Probably should say Caleb Houston, but I've seen more highlights from Musa Diabate, and he just looks like an animal. Over-under on 5 stars for Michigan football if the number is set at 2. I agree with someone who commented saying, hey, man, you got to put a 0.5 after that. If it's set at 2, I think I'm going to go even. I'm going to go push. But I can say I think that if it was 2.5, I'd go under because I think that they'll get another one. I have yet to see Michigan get 3 in a year, so it's kind of hard to predict that to happen. But, I mean, could be 3, right? Like, what if they land Walter Nolan? And it kind of feels like, based off if you look at what E.J. Holland has been putting out there, they're not giving up and Will Johnson isn't giving up on Damani Jackson. I wouldn't be surprised. Thirdly, what is your favorite podcast to listen to outside of your own, of course? I honestly don't listen to a lot of podcasts at all. And by I don't listen to a lot, I don't really listen to podcasts. I can tell you what I have listened to. I won't necessarily say that they're like my favorites or anything. Obviously, I listen to In the Trenches when there's a guest on, which I need to transcribe. So there's that. I've listened to a few episodes of the Joe Rogan Experience recently, and that's, again, more guest-specific of people who I'm intrigued by that he has on. I think he's got some thoughtful discussion. I know he gets much maligned and whatever, and I think that's just the nature of the world, especially people who don't fit into a proper little box, which is, I think, who Joe Rogan is. I've listened to a couple episodes of Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard, but I haven't listened to it in about 2 years, maybe almost three at this point. But I thought that that was really fun. I really enjoyed it. And I like the ones that I listened to probably the most religiously was Binge Mode from The Ringer. But I listened to it very specifically during the Game of Thrones in the last season of Game of Thrones. I make no secret that I am still a big Game of Thrones fan. No, I don't like the way it ended. But I've had it on in repeat in the last couple weeks here in the household. So anyway, all right, that'll do it for segment one. We've got plenty coming up in the next two segments, so let us move on to that. But before we do, chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need with a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate, quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car, truck, right locked down in their how-did-you-hear-about-us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, RockAuto.com. All right, let's continue. We've got four starting off with in our Victor's Valiant from Jim in the North. How freaked out should I be that the quarterback situation will hurt the season? It sounds like spring ball did not go well. I don't think that that's the case. I think spring ball went fine for the quarterback position, from what I know. And you're still bringing in Alan Bowman, who's going to... I think that they have a lot of options that are way more viable. And I think that you'll see more than one, especially based off of what Jim Harbaugh said today on In the Trenches podcast about Dan Villari. We'll talk about them in a bit, but I think we had a question about this, but him being like Taysom Hill, having that type of role, I wouldn't freak out about it at all. I think that the quarterback situation is, if nothing else, steady at this moment. Any truth to the rumors that Warner was mainly run game coordinator and not O-line? I don't believe so. I believe he was very much the offensive line coach. And, I mean, he did handle run game coordination, but I think he was mostly the offensive line coach as well. Did the staff get pantsed in the Worthy situation, or was it out of their control? It was out of their control. I know, you weren't around the last couple weeks as far as, I don't think you didn't ask any questions last week, or I don't think the week before, but covered Worthy. It's definitely something that was out of the staff's control. And finished off, have you read the Timothy Zahn Heir to the Empire Star Wars series? I have not read any Legends material. I actually had the first one back because, like, I had a friend, like, I was not into science fiction, but I had a friend who was really into science fiction. He convinced me because he got, like, you know, some kind of kickback that you get, you know, when you refer someone. So he convinced me to join this science fiction book club. And so I got that book, and then I never read it. I have no idea whatever happened to it, but because it'd be interesting to see now. And speaking of Timothy Zahn, his next book comes out tomorrow, which is the new Thrawn Ascendancy book, which I have not pre-ordered yet. I probably should do that, but I know I'm going to be busy tomorrow, not only with the NFL draft, but also the video game Returnal is coming out. And I haven't really been into the video games in the last 6 months, but I'm super amped for that. KRT at Farmer Katie 4, who do you think will grade out as our best O-lineman this year? Do you see any of those guys as future first-round picks? I would say it's between Ryan Hayes, who got some really high marks from Harbaugh on the podcast, as well as we heard during spring him get mentioned by some of the defensive linemen. and Zach Zinter, who all by all accounts is the machine that is moving the offensive line. And Harbaugh said he is entrenched as a starter already. So Zinter is starting. That is happening. So I would have to go with those two. And if I had to pick between one of the two, I will go with Zinter because it just seems like he's got size that you can't teach and ability just already seems to be off the charts. Zach at Zach Woodruff 3. Washington seems like it will be the defining moment of the season. Do you think the results of that game will either propel or derail the season? No, I don't think. I mean, I think it could, but I think it would be a lot more helpful if they won that game. But we've seen that play out before, even in the Jim Harbaugh era, right? Like Notre Dame 2018 certainly looked like losing that was going to cost Michigan everything. And yeah, it probably cost them a college football playoff appearance, but at the same time, if they won that game, say they eked it out, and they still lost to Ohio State the way they did, probably wouldn't have necessarily considered them to be a college football playoff team at that point. Maybe they would have gone to a different New Year's Six Bowl, but I mean, we've seen, like, you know, you look at like 2013 Notre Dame, right? Like, kind of feels like winning that game. I know these are all Notre Dame games. Like, how many times have we seen Michigan and Notre Dame play? And it seems like, you know, oh, hey, the winner of this one is going to be in a big time situation and ends up not being the case. Seems like we've seen it a lot. But then again, Notre Dame winning in 2018 helped propel them. Michigan winning in 2006 really seemed like set the tone for the rest of the season. I think whatever it is, whatever happens, it could be the defining moment, because if they go out there and just ball out, that could set the tone for the rest of the season. Or they could do like what we saw last year, go out there, ball out against Minnesota, and then lay an egg for the rest of the year. So I don't really want to put an onus on one game, because you can see a team be bad early and then get better. Say it's, if it's a bad loss, I mean, maybe they galvanize, maybe they fall apart. I think it's really hard to tell because the ego of this team feels very fragile right now. Zach Van Lente at Lente Zach. If you give them an inch, they will take a mile. Does this perfectly sum up the difference between the Michigan and Ohio State programs? Like JT was short. What does the parallel universe look like if that call gets reversed? I think Ohio State would have continued to be what Ohio State is, but I think Michigan, I mean, I think a lot of the narratives don't exist if, you know, because you wouldn't be talking Jim Harbaugh's made a Big Ten championship game. But I think there would be narratives. Say that Michigan won that game and Michigan went to the Big Ten championship and they won and they go to the college football playoff. And let's say that they lost at some point in the college football playoff. Then the narrative would be like Jim Harbaugh hasn't even won at all. Urban Meyer did in 2014, rather. I think that there'd be a narrative regardless, because I think that's what happens at Michigan. But what do I think would have happened if that call was reversed? I mean, how many more times did they beat Ohio State? I don't know if they beat them more or less, because I think Ohio State had a lot of amazing talent. Michigan would have had to procure more. I think they could have procured more, but I think that at the same time, there was a lot of lazy recruiting. Not really going in very hard for some of the five-star types. I mean, they still went and got five-star types since then. Donovan Peoples-Jones committed after that. Chris Hinton committed after that. Aubrey Solomon committed after that. Granted, he didn't stick around. Daxton Hill. They've brought in five stars, but maybe they go from being a 1 to 2 5-star a year program to 3, maybe 4. People start thinking this is what it is. Maybe people, you know, maybe inside the building, there's a little bit more confidence. Maybe outside the building, there's a lot more confidence. I don't know. Jonathan Joseph at J. Joseph 2156. Will you watch the Kentucky Derby? Maybe. It seems like I'd never watch it, but like I'd like to watch it. That's the type of thing that I would totally be into. Especially, I grew up with horses. My mom has like 14 horses. So part of why I moved back to Michigan from Hollywood is help my mom out on the farm. So you'd think that I'd be really into it. Granted, she's not into horse racing. It's more of dressage. You know, the dancing horses. She has Andalusians. So I don't know. Jacob Chavaria at Jacob1721390. Michigan goes 5-7 in 2021. Is Jim still in or canned? I think it depends on how they look if they go 5-7. 5-7, one of the wins is against Ohio State. 5-7, but all of the scores are really close. You can see that they're building something. You can see that they're better. 5-7, and it's all a bunch of blowouts to every single competitive team that they face. I think that's I think it all depends on the context. But I think if it's somewhere in the middle, I mean, I guess it depends. Was Ohio State one of the five? Or were the five wins just Western, Northern Illinois, Rutgers, and, you know, like Maryland and Northwestern? It's probably not going to be good enough. Brandon at finishing us out at Brandon S616. If you could cover any other team, who would it be? And he's got another one. I don't know, because like part of it is that you want to cover a team that's really exciting and interesting, but part of it would be I'd want to be in a... Granted, I could do this job pretty much from anywhere, or I could live anywhere for most of the year and go wherever, but, you know, come back during the fall, spring, you know, a little bit during the spring and the fall or whatever. I don't know. But part of me would want to be in, like, Coral Gables covering the U, but this seems like there's zero fan appreciation for Miami, or back to L.A. for USC. I wouldn't want to cover USC. Doesn't seem like that would, neither of those would be a heck of a lot of fun. I'd probably want to cover a huge program. I would say probably someone like Alabama, maybe Texas, maybe, yeah. I've never been to Tuscaloosa, but I heard that it's incredible. And my one best friend, Davis, is always trying to get me to come visit him in Austin because he's halfway living there. So I'd say probably Texas or Alabama would be one of those two. Maybe, you know, you could probably convince me to cover Georgia, even though y'all know how I feel about Georgia. Also, the 2017 class is always brought up as a reason why the team has struggled, but looking at what those players have done since leaving, we didn't miss out on anything other than depth. Wouldn't we be in the same spot if they stayed? I don't think it's about necessarily the fact that they transferred out and haven't done anything. It's the fact that you basically whiffed on an entire class, save for a couple people. Save for Quiddy Pay, who was one of your lowest rated guys. Save for Nico Collins, who we didn't get to see for his senior year as we had hoped. Or same with Ambry Thomas. I think it's the fact that you're hoping out of a class of nearly 30 strong to get 15 guys that could really do it for you. And you got probably five. I think that's the bigger issue, is just you lose out on a whole class. It's like the death penalty, essentially. Like you gave it to yourself. All right. Let us move on. We got more questions coming up here in a moment, but betonline.ag, it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. College football might be over, but as well as the NFL, but NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, they're all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, and the odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and guess what? It is free to sign up. Head over to betonline.ag to sign up today. Use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Gotta continue talking about Built Bar. Y'all know how much I love Built Bar, and you know what? I definitely put my money where my mouth is this last time. I got two boxes, and I have a new favorite flavor because I had gotten I had ordered the peanut butter brownie, and then they said that they had more what is it called? I have to look at it. Coconut brownie chunk got more to be in stock, so I ordered a box of that. That one had been my new favorite, but I think I'm back to thinking that the peanut butter brownie, I think that might be my favorite, because having them back to back, that they're just incredible. If you don't know about Built Bar, it's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, high protein, low calorie, low carb. I always have two at a time because they're that delicious. I had two of the aforementioned peanut butter brownie earlier today, right before the podcast. So go to BuiltBar.com, put in promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off your next order. BuiltBar.com, LOCKED15. Do it up. I'm telling you, it's worth it. All right, we got more questions finishing us out. We've got plenty here. Stone at StoneB09. Listen to the In the Trenches podcast, and is all coach speak as bad as what Harbaugh put out? Felt that it was just Jim vomiting out names and praise rather than answering a lot of the questions. It somewhat surprises me. Players enjoy Jim Harbaugh. He seems not great at conversations. Well, that's kind of what he's been doing since 2018-ish or so. And at first it was like refreshing because he usually wouldn't even give, you know, you wouldn't even give you names. He'd just be like, well, you don't want to say, you know, say this because then someone gets left out and gets diminished. And then he kind of changed course and started talking about everybody. But I don't think players or whatever, like that doesn't matter to them. That doesn't have any bearing on the people inside the program. It's for us, the media, and you, the fans. So it's, I think there was some helpful stuff in there, but I mean, he hasn't really answered questions directly a lot of the times over the course of the last several years. It's just how he's been. Kind of has the things he wants to say and finds a way to say them, which happens. I've done that on radio shows. Ask me a question I don't want to answer because I don't have an answer or whatever. I'll kind of make it into what I want it to be so that I can still talk about something. Also, he says, ask, when you retire from covering Michigan, do you think you'll consider writing a tell-all about all the things you heard behind the scenes but haven't been able to talk about? Man, if I could remember half of the things or if any of it was interesting years down the line, then maybe. I was super connected for about 3 years. And then I was moderately connected for, let's see, how long have I covered the team? 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020. So 6 years or whatever. Last couple of years, I have not even really dug in on much. Every now and again, but it seems like the sources find me more than me finding the sources as far as intel and stuff like that. Sometimes it's they know what they want to, like, they know that a narrative is incorrect and want me to fix it or something like that, you know. But I don't think that I have anything that would be necessarily worth a tell all. I think you're in better shape if you just listen to the podcast, because I usually eventually kind of say some stuff on here. Maybe I kind of keep it a little bit hidden, but that's the case. Mark Zimke at @Mark_Z_. People are being so negative about the secrecy of the spring game. Do you think there's any chance it was due to not revealing scheme, or like everyone else, it's because the team looks so bad? The word on the street is that they just hadn't secured the, as far as TV was concerned, they hadn't decided when to put it on. Because I think that there was like a COVID break there for a minute. And they just, by the time they told Big Ten Network, it was too late. I don't think it's because they look so bad. I think it's probably closer to the scheme thing. I think that it kind of goes back to spring 2018. They didn't really want to show anyone anything for whatever reason. So, and I don't think, obviously the team didn't end up being bad, but they were like, yep, canceled. Due to weather, and the weather never came. They canceled it like a week in advance. I just think that it's more of, if they can get away with not doing it, then they just won't do it. I think that's kind of the more the case. Corey D. Kivik at @CKivik67. With the draft coming up, which tonight, do you think Urban Meyer will draft a Michigan player in his NFL career? Also, who's a player going into the draft that you will continue to watch? Well, to answer your latter, I'll watch all of the Michigan players. I always do. I care more about what the Michigan players do in the NFL than I do about any particular team. That said, Quiddy Pay is my guy. I will definitely be watching him. So I'm hoping he doesn't go to a team that I don't already pay attention to, because I'd like it if he went to, I would prefer if he ended up going to someplace like New England or Tampa Bay. I think that Tampa Bay is probably out of the cards because they're the last pick in the first round, but teams that I already watch. I don't want him to go to the Colts or the Bills or, you know, somewhere in that Jacksonville, even though that kind of answers your one question, because I don't watch Jacksonville. I keep an eye out on Jared Wilson and Brandon Watson, but I think that Urban Meyer would draft a Michigan player in his NFL career. I think he'd be stupid if, like, you know, someone falls to him and he's just going to have that vendetta. I don't think he hates Michigan as much as the persona makes him look like it does. I think that's just a persona. So, we'll see. Trey Gomillion at Trey 2 to Max. Do you think Michigan's high academic standards hurt them in recruiting and getting players via the transfer portal? Yeah, we've talked about that. I absolutely think it hurts. It hurts them. Not everyone qualifies. You can kind of guess who's there when, like, they're hot and heavy on a guy, and sometimes it's just like that fizzles out rather than it just being like suddenly they're going somewhere else. I think you can usually also read between the lines when that happens. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely a high academic standard deal. Michigan is for some people and it's not for others, and that's just how it is, especially with the weather as well. Finishing us out, not in just segment three, the whole podcast, the whole episode. Chris Wilson at C_Willie_1974. With the hiring of Courtney Morgan, do you think we'll see an increased staff in the recruiting department? Hope so, man. Don't know for sure, though, but you would hope so. Take advantage of as many people as you can. Build that thing up as much as your financial constraints that due to COVID allow you to do. So I don't have any insight on that. I would imagine. I mean, I'd imagine it won't be a bare bones operation. That would be ridiculous. But you would imagine that they would build that thing up. That's got to be a part of it. All right, that'll do it for us today. We'll talk NFL draft tomorrow, potentially earlier. Plan today was to do this much earlier, but had some personal deals that happened throughout the day. So anyway, we will aspire to have an earlier episode tomorrow. So think late morning, early to mid-afternoon. Anyway, we will talk to you then. Thanks for listening. Peace.